It's comfortable. So that's what it's like. What's up, y'all? It's Free Noise.
Free Noise. What happened to the sign?
I don't know. They took it down, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to have to get that taken care of. But anyway, no need to for an introduction. We're just going to chat.
That's what we're here for. That's what we came to do. I must say, this seat is quite comfortable. So I see why they...
You know what? Speaking of comfortability or speaking of being comfortable, that's what I'm going to say. Let's talk about having that uncomfortable conversation. Let's talk about that.
Uncomfortable conversation?
Yeah.
So what you mean by that? Let's identify. What do you mean? Like, break it down. Somebody needs to know.
Anything that you're uncomfortable, it's a conversation that needs to be had, whether it's with family, whether it's with a friend, whether it's just anybody. You have to have that uncomfortable conversation. It's uncomfortable because you probably got to mention something that you don't want to talk about, or you might wonder how it's going to make them feel or make you feel. Or maybe at the end of the day, you might just be scared to have that conversation. But it has to be had, right?
Okay, I can see that, because it's a lot of different situations where it could be uncomfortable. But you know, the first thing that came to mind for me when you said that, I think about like when a parent has to have that conversation with their child, and depending on the subject, it could be an uncomfortable situation. But what made me think about that is, as you explained different situations, is how you would approach your child. You know, when it comes to being uncomfortable, but you know you have to have that conversation. See, you're not going to not have it. It may take a little time, but you're going to pre-plan things. You're going to prep things. You're not going to go and just run and gun. So I will say in regards to all that, the first thing that you should do when it comes to uncomfortable conversation that you have to have with someone, maybe you need to address something, it's just treat it like you know, like a baby. You know, come up with the steps, how you're going to approach it. And then you also want to be a good listener in those situations as well. So just in being approachable, so we talk about uncomfortable conversations. So let's say you got to have an uncomfortable conversation with me. Maybe me and you got something going on. How you going to approach me?
We had a lot of them. One thing I want to say, though, that stuck out when you said that, a piece of it, because you can continue. What happens is people get to a point of avoiding the conversation as a whole, and that's when it becomes an issue. Me personally, I'm a person, I don't like to be ignored. So when it comes to that, that's when I get a little irritated.
You know? I see what you're saying, because some people, they have the mindset that you go this way, I go that way, and then there's never a conversation. But that, to them, they feel like the problem is resolved. But it go right back to what you said. You gotta be willing to have that uncomfortable conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, like, a starting point, I would say is obviously, which is the hardest thing to do, is to reach out to that person. You know, whether it's by text message, I say the best thing to do when it's really in those type of situations is just straight up call them. Like you'll send a text message, and now you're looking forward to wait till when it's red, and then you see those check marks go off and it's red, and then you're mad because they haven't responded yet. But on the other hand, they might be thinking about how they gonna respond to you.
Point taking, take notes, yeah, so. Take that down. Do not text.
Don't do it.
And I'm a person. Don't ever text me, hey, we need to talk. Like, call me. Because if I got to sit up there and guess, you know, what the conversation about to be and all that, man, I don't like that. Yeah. Just call me and say, hey, are you free? Can we have a conversation? Yeah. And you know what the worst part of it is?
What's that?
If you don't get used to having the uncomfortable conversations, then you might get used to nothing. Like, you imagine that, just not having anything. Like, somebody just completely just phasing you out.
Yeah,
and you don't get to have the conversation. Or if something was to happen, not that I had to take it to that extent, but if something was to happen and you never get to have that conversation, that could have turned things around.
Yeah, and that's all it took. And now y'all, it's like y'all don't even know each other anymore. Yeah, I get that. And you know that's what can make it hard. But I say always, never hesitate. I say always, never hesitate to take the first step and reach out to that person. But it should definitely be through a phone call. You know, it's just text messages. You know, you can read something and you read it like they're yelling at you, and they're not. It's just always just misinterpreted in that way. So that's why I always go to, if you call them, what sound like I'm yelling at you might be me, you know, laughing and smiling at you.
Yeah.
And that way it can be clarified, you know. So you mad at me, we have a falling out. We gotta have an uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
And you call me and I don't pick up the phone. Now, what do you do from there? What's your thought process?
Yeah, and I think with that too, you get such a disadvantage through a text message. You can't read, I just say, the body language, or you know, you can't tell when somebody texts you, do they mean that in a playful way? Yeah. Is it in a happy way? And then also just with technology alone, people got the advantage to read your message, and on your side of it, it looked like they never read it. Now for me, this is my thing. If you go, I say even a couple hours, if you ain't got back with me, I don't care if it say read or unread, I know that you're probably just ignoring the message at that point. Because at what point is anybody, how often is people just walking around without this?
All day. You know, but that's why, go back to my question. You call and that person don't answer, then what's your response then? How do you feel? What's your patience level of if you call? Now, we talked about you should call somebody or, you know, even set up a in-person conversation. But you make that first phone call and they don't call back. Mm-hmm. That initial phone call, is that does that set the trend like, hey, they don't want to talk to me. I tried. Do you stop there? Like, what do you do?
So, and I see that a lot. I've seen people try maybe once and maybe twice, and they say, well, I tried it. And they try to go with their own mindset, make up their own mind of what it might be instead of, like, giving it another try. To actually see what's going on. You never know what's going on with the other person. I always say that. Like, before you get to make up their whole life in your head, like, talk to them. You know, at least hear what's going on. Everybody, there's nobody on this earth that doesn't have anything going on. Like, everything's perfect. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what you got. Nobody who's not dealing with nothing. Yeah. You know, so, and a lot of times, to act like it's just you who are going through those things, too, that can become a selfish kind of mindset. But that's something else.
That's a whole set topic right there. You know, it's a saying that I remember we had we used to be in a drawing class. We were, you know, arts class. And we had this teacher. It was this formula he used. And we always started our day with saying that. He would say, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah.
He would say that every time. But that can go with anything you do in life, but especially when you need to have that uncomfortable conversation, because the goal is to get the peace in the situation or get the understanding. It may not be a beef or anything. It just may just be uncomfortable. Like I said, it could be a parent and a child. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in most cases growing up today, it's, you know, two close individuals who have fallen out and they just don't want to take that first step. So, but when you do, and that person picks up or they get back to you, you're going to have the first feeling of satisfaction. That's going to be the first sense of relief that person picked up the phone or they got back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you're going the right way, you know, mm-hmm. whether they don't call you back that day or however it go, you're going to have that first sense of relief versus holding all that in. You know, you're going to be holding on and still wondering what, you know, oh, they don't like me, you know, whatever you're thinking about it.
Yeah, making it up in your own head. You got your own story on what's going on in their life. You got your mind made up, you know, on something you haven't even heard from the other side what's really going on. You haven't communicated with that person. And, you know, and that's how it could work. You can start just playing a story in your own head and it might not be the best thing. But without having that conversation, you will never know. And this is not to say that it's always going to go good or it's going to be your way. It's not to say that if I had an uncomfortable conversation that things are going to be okay. But what you do get, you get peace, you get clarity.
So we was thinking the same thing. Clarity. That's what I was thinking. It's not a twin thing. It was the formula that led up to that. It wasn't the twin thing.
It could have been. Clarity. It could have been the twin thing.
I don't know.
We do got, sometimes I can think with, we'll talk about that later. But no, you do, you get that clarity. So at that point, once you know, and then you choose, well, you know, I don't want to deal with this person no more, or I do, at least you have a genuine reason of why, versus like you made up your own thing in your head, you know, and not just, even not displaying that you actually care about the other person too. Like I said, it don't matter how hard it get. I'm going to call. I'm going to have a conversation. Everybody want that one friend around them. If I got a booger in my nose, if it's something my teeth, tell me.
Oh, I'm a for sure, you know, tell you. And I'm going to clown you, too.
If I'm musty, tell me. Like, let me know.
I'm going to tell you and I'm going to clown you.
Yeah. But all our life, man, we've been like that. Yeah. And I had a brother reach out to me, one of my brothers, and I think it was uncomfortable for him, but he reached out, and I respected him reaching out. It didn't get ugly, and really it was a mistake, but more than anything, I respected that he reached out to talk to me about how he felt.
Yeah, because I say that's the most important thing. When there's an issue or there's something that needs to be talked about, don't wait on it. Just go ahead and address it. We always, like you said, you always have this mindset where you think you know this person because you done spent your life with them. They're your friend, your cousin, your wife, your husband, whatever it is, you think, or whoever it is, you think you just know how they're going to respond. I know how they are. But you don't know because you haven't given them the courtesy to have that conversation and see how they respond off of that. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was a good subject to bring up, having those uncomfortable conversations, because it's a barrier that's in front of everybody these days. And it's something that we could tear down easily by just simply opening our mouth, making that phone call, you know, letting that person know that, you know, we really do care about them. You know, they know we care about them, but it's more important to hear than words. So I think, you know, just summing all that up, like, you know, don't be scared to call that person. Do not text. Do not let social media, what you see on their social media page, tell you how their day is going or how their life going. Because nobody is putting the bad side of what's going on in their life on social media. They're not putting you may see them out eating a gourmet meal and you think their day is perfect while yours is ruined. But that was just probably the highlight of their day, just that gourmet meal.
It's always going to be the highlight.
So top it off and get them the phone call. Yeah. Put a little icing on the cake. Give them a phone call, because we know that everything on social media is not just how people are living.
Right.
It's not.
And on the other side of that camera, just like, they don't know what you're going through either. So if you don't communicate that, again, you don't reach out and have that conversation, how you expect me to know how you feel, what's going on, and you ain't tell me? Or I'm going to be there for you.
I can know if it's you because we twins.
Well, only he can know that, because it's a thinking capability we have, but we'll tell you about that later.
It's not really.
Yeah, but how would you expect me to know? So call me and let me know. Hey, I'm having a hard time, or whatever it is. We call each other when it's good news.
Yeah.
We got something good to talk about. We communicate that. So
it should be the same way.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And also with the uncomfortable conversations as well. Like, if you want to advance your friendship, then you got to be real with each other. That's what having that uncomfortable conversation is. It's really simply just keeping it real. We can touch on that so many ways, but I think one of the main things that I wanted to elaborate on is don't let it get to a point that you're avoiding each other or you avoiding that person. Because then it's all for nothing. Yeah. It doesn't have to go. You can literally talk to that person. And for some people, it might have to get that way. Some people just don't get it. I get it. Sometimes you do got to ice somebody off. Like, you just got to...
Sometimes it's necessary, you know. Yeah, sometimes it's too toxic for you, or you know, when you know when it's not.
But even then, what's the small thing you can do? Is still communicate.
No, it don't hurt to reach out.
The little, hey, I'm not ready to talk right now. I need a little more time. Or hey, I feel like we're not understanding each other.
Yeah,
we're not seeing eye to eye. Maybe we can come back to it later. You know, just to say like, hey, I'm trying, but it's just not the right time.
Yeah, I agree. So a whole, that's the formula, right? If you're looking at having an uncomfortable conversation, it's a big deal. Remember that this formula: always call, do not text, Do not make use of any social media. Make sure that it's a voice-to-voice type of conversation. That way there's no misread communication. That's the first thing. Well, actually, that's the second thing, because the first thing is that you have to take the initiative to actually call that person, you know, and then you go through with it. But then after that, always have in mind, you know, just kind of prepare what you really want to say to them, but not in a way that you're going to do all the talking, but just in a simple way to explain where you're coming from and then tell them you want to understand where they're coming from. Break that barrier. It gets so easy.
You got to be a bigger listener.
Yeah, when you do it, it gets easier. But I got my phone up, and I pulled something up. This is just a change of subject. And we was talking about the twin thing.
Why would you do that?
Because we twins.
This another part of communication. He didn't even communicate that with me. Like, hey, bro, you mind if I switch it, the subject?
If I didn't tell you, it won't be a surprise. It's a surprise.
Even though he thought that I was thinking that because of the twin thing, but that's not the case.
Speaking of twins.
Communication.
Speaking of twins, I Googled 5 common questions that people ask about twins.
We can roll with that.
Okay? 5 common questions.
Okay.
So, and we're going to answer them being twins that we are. If you are a twin and maybe you have a different answer, feel free to comment. Or if you had an experience with twins, feel free to comment. Or if you have a question towards twins, feel free to drop a comment down in the box there. And what we're going to do, let's ask those questions. All right? The first one.
Somewhere down there.
Yes. You point out. The first question is, are they identical or fraternal? Well, we get this one all the time. So looking at us, people are going to automatically assume that we are identical. There are twins that look closer a lot, closer alike.
And closer they're, a lot. They're,
yeah, I They look closer alike, and then you got twins that don't look as much alike, and people automatically assume that means you're identical or you're not. That's not what that means. To be identical is literally twins born in the same sack. They when they were in infancy, in their mommy's belly, they were in the same sack.
Has nothing to do with looking
like. Nothing to do with how much you look alike. Nothing to do with how you talk or nothing. That's what it means. So when you see a set of twins and they look alike or don't look alike, don't ask, are they identical? Because it don't have nothing to do with
we
it.
We just look more alike. That's it.
We look more alike.
We really don't look alike.
So that's the answer.
I'll tell y'all the difference on another time. We don't really.
If you know the difference, drop that in the comments.
Yeah, go do that.
If you don't know us.
Y'all see. Yeah, do that. That'd be cool.
Did I answer that?
Yeah, that answered. So to be clear, you don't. Identical twins are not identified by how much they look alike. It's identified by if you were in the same sack, and fraternal twins mean they were in different sacks. Yeah. That's it. So,
all right, here's the second question. Do they have the same personality?
Do we?
Here's the beauty of it. The personality is actually how you get to know twins. I always tell people when they don't know us at first, they're like, I can't tell you from you. Spend a little more time around us, and you're going to realize how different we are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we may do things alike with our characteristics or whatnot, but there are certain things in our personalities that are actually different. And that's how most people who know us, that's how they tell us apart. Our mannerism and how we talk, from that to even different foods. There's certain foods that he won't even touch that I love.
It's a lot of foods that we know.
Personality traits, it come off different. Actually, my brother's more of an introvert. And when it comes to getting to know people and things like that, he's actually the one who will actually step up and talk. Me, I'm the one who won't.
How is that?
I don't know.
Like, I'm the introvert, but I
said it backwards, didn't I?
Yeah, because that's more like
I messed it up, man.
But I should have
Googled that.
Yeah. So I'm more the.
I'm the introvert.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's me. I don't talk as much as he do. Like, he's always making friends. Like, when we go to the gym, this guy. Like, I love to speak to people. I'll speak to anybody. But we'd be on our way to hit the bench, and he having a whole conversation with somebody. I'm like, man, if you don't come on, man. But he's the one. He's the one who will actually.
That's because of the one thing we do have in common. I'm going to say this. Our heart condition is. We just like showing love, man. That's what it is. And I'm a type of person, this is another conversation, but when I, a place that I go to every day, and if I see you every day, I'm going to acknowledge you. And, oh, yeah. You know, you build relationships off of that. And the gym is like, that's our space. You know, some people, it might be the club. You know, some people, it might be a coffee shop, or maybe it's a library. For me, it's the gym. And bro, the gym. Brody, too. Definitely like, that's our place. So, but he right. Yeah, there'd be like three sets in, and I'd still be talking to like maybe the second or third person on my way.
Yeah, they don't take away from the worker. He jump in on his sets, but still, you know what I'm talking about.
I put the work in, bro.
You know what I'm talking about. He's the networker. Let's put it like that. So here's a third question. This is a good one, because we've been running into this problem a lot lately. I don't know why.
Is it a problem?
Are they always dressed alike?
That is a problem. So as of lately, we've been popping. Surprisingly, today we didn't have the same thing. You got a white beater on?
I don't. I got a t-shirt.
Good. We made it that far. Surprisingly, as of lately, we've been popping up with the same suits on, the same shirts. And shoes is fine. I mean, yeah. And I think primarily we have similar tastes. But as twins, growing up, where you want to give them the background on that?
Yeah, I get the background. You can give them the background. All right, so. Here's a real reason why he touched on it when he said same taste. We have the same taste in what we wear. But I will say, for some reason, today we went to the gym and we both showed up with a black cutoff on. Now, that may be common in the gym. Anybody would choose to wear it, but it was just a point. Like, I'm like, man, why did we cut this on?
We should talk to the editor, see if they can just put a flashback in.
Yeah, we're gonna ask him to put a small clip when he say that. That really happened.
Like, put it right here. Yeah.
So here's the I want to say the science behind it, and it's not even science. It's a bond. It's not a bond like through the mind or anything, but it's a bond of growing up and literally doing everything with somebody. So take any of your brothers or sisters, but imagine, or your close friends, but imagine y'all grew up having to do everything together. Not forcefully, but y'all were twins, so things came in pairs. So when y'all went shopping, y'all both went shopping, you know. Everything we did, we had to do together, and everything we had to we shared. Mm. And it was kind of cool, because here's a little secret. This is something that we would do. Growing up, we didn't never like wearing the same thing. So our mom knew that. But I don't know if our mom did it because she wanted to know us apart growing up, or if she just understood we didn't like wearing the same thing. But here's the funny part. If he had got a red shirt and I got a blue shirt, we had two shirts. Because I wear the blue shirt one week, and then next week I might take his red shirt. Now I got two shirts. And nobody really thought about it because we twins. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we grew up wearing a lot of the same things, but different colors. Mm-hmm. And gradually, we developed the same taste for style and clothing. So it's been to the point that I would go to the mall and grab something like the same day and call him like, man, look what I just got. And then he'd be like, man, why did you get that? I got that
I picked it
up. Or I already got that last week. Mm-hmm. It's just that we have the same taste. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're thinking like, oh, my twin, I'm tapping in my mind and I'm connecting with my brother to see what he's wearing. Never the case.
I actually got in this mode that whenever I went shopping, before I purchased something, I sent him a picture of it just to make sure he didn't have it. Literally would send him a picture like, hey, you got this? And he'd be like, no. And sometimes the funny thing, tell him, like, hey, grab me one too. What, bro? Like, we try to be different.
Yeah, it's been plenty of times. So I'll tell you, like, if I like something and he grabbing it and I want it, I say grab me one. So it could be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that become a problem, though. Like, if he wears something to one event and then I want to wear mine, I got the same thing. They'd be like, man, I just wore that one, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that happens. Yeah. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's not like a twin mind thing where we know what we're going to wear, but it's just because we grew up with the same taste of things. Mm-hmm. So, you take somebody and grow up with them and do everything with them and have to share everything with them, then that's what you're going to develop. And you're going to develop a close bond with each other.
I was just explaining that to somebody. I mean, everything, like graduations together. If I play basketball, we was on the same basketball team. We band together, art class, whatever we did, everything was like at the same time as well. So we experienced a lot together. So that, where you going into the whole thinking like thing.
That's the next question. That's fine. Oh, so it's kind of. So I'm gonna say, do they have a special connection? That's kind of close to like thinking of. Well,
we do. To me, I'm telling somebody that we do in the same way that you have a special connection with any of your close siblings. Somebody that you, if it's a little brother and you always looking out for them, y'all have a special connection as well. Or an older brother who you look up to, or a sister, you will have that special connection. I think that lean into like the whole, because somebody asked me like, not if I pinch your brother, would you feel it? But he said, hey, like if something was wrong with your brother, would you notice it? And my answer to that was it goes off the normal day. You know, and that this is with anybody. Whenever the pattern changed, if I talk to you every day and then one day I don't, something is going to seem off. If you text me, whether it's a friend, whoever, you text me goodnight every night and then you go 2 days without, then something's going to be off. Like, all right, what's going on? You know,
that's all it is. And I think people overthink it.
I don't text my brother goodnight, by the way.
You better not.
No.
I think people overthink it because we're twins. They just think, oh, they're twins. We're normal human beings that just look alike. That's really summed up. But so growing up together and doing everything together, that's what forces that, or not forces, but that's what creates that bond that makes twins inseparable. Because there are some twins who didn't grow up doing everything together and they're not that close. Some twins don't talk to each other at all sometimes, you know. We talk all the time because we grew up like that. But not only did we grow up that way, but all our siblings were raised that same way. Very close knitted.
Yeah.
And so it's really just all about how you're raised. So to answer that question, do they have a special connection? I would say yes, but not in the sense of any way of somebody thinking like it's a twin connection. It's just how we were raised. And that would be any set of twins, how they were raised. That would be the connection. That sums that up?
Yeah. I think it's just like having a close brother or even a close friend.
Yeah.
Somebody that y'all was in the same grade.
Oh, it could be your dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You spend that much time with your dog.
The connection is just built off of what y'all built. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So there's nothing special that when we was born and we just had this disconnection. It's not like that.
Yeah.
It's something that's just molded between the two of you as time go.
So
the same connection that if you married, then you might have a connection with your wife.
Twin powers activate?
Nah, we don't have that.
Okay.
Sometimes. We can't show them that, man. Hey.
Well, this is the fifth question. Do they fight a lot? Do twins fight a lot?
Do they fight a lot? Like fight each other?
Do they fight a lot?
Fight a lot?
So that's like fight. I'm thinking fight can mean argue. Fighting is fighting. Fighting words,
I'm not. I'm saying fight each other or like just fight.
It just say, do they fight a lot? That's what it say.
Every day, B.
Yeah, right.
To this day.
I can count on my hand how many, like I would say, I wouldn't even say fights. I say like little rough and, you know, nothing crazy.
Physical?
Never happened. Yeah. Nothing crazy, man. Ain't ever happened. But when I say for all twins, I'm not going to say. Like, we ain't ever threw hands. I put it like that. We ain't never squared up and threw hands. We probably wrestled a little bit.
We never like, threw.
But we ain't never threw hands.
We man. Never threw
it? No, we ain't never threw hands. Did we?
Never mind.
You kind of one time.
But you know what? It's very.
It's, all right, so, but it say a lot.
No, the answer is no,
at least for us. We can't say that for every set of twins, though. Mm-hmm. That being a common question for twins, because it's about how you were raised. So we were raised close-knitted to the point that if we did fight and my mom found out about it, we had to get dealt with by her. And that's what? That wasn't it. We would go to sleep and think it's over, hear a knock on the door, and it's my dad.
Yeah.
And my dad,
yeah.
Y'all, I heard y'all was fighting. And now we got to deal with him. So after that, it would be a punishment. So it was just, we were raised that way, and that was for the entire household.
Mm.
You know, we got other siblings, so whoever was fighting, it was a no-no. So we were raised that way. But there's some brothers and sisters, I'm not even going to say twins in that matter, who they were raised differently. And they fought things out. And maybe they had parents that said, oh, let them fight it out. Mm. I don't agree with that, but that's how they were raised.
Mm.
You know, and they probably still fight today. They probably still knocking each other's heads off. we can't, no, there's no way.
Yeah, it would, and the time that it did get like that, you would just feel wrong about it, man. Like that's for anybody you like when you fight a friend or whoever. It's just You feel bad.
You're going to feel bad.
But we, you know, yeah.
All right, what about this one? Let's take it down tonight. So we're not throwing hands, but what about going back and forth?
I mean, that's every day. It's still today. We were doing that right before the camera started.
We have disagreements. He was taking all day to just get ready. It wasn't even like, not getting dressed, but he was taking all day.
I had a thousand things going on. So
I'm like, man, what are you doing? Come on. Like we take turns with that. Sometimes it's me. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but our fighting words is never in a sense where somebody gonna get hurt or we like, man, don't call me. I'm about, you know, don't text me. I'm gonna ignore you. It ain't never like that. It's usually in a manner that we could brush it off. Like, whatever, man. Go on somewhere mm-hmm. with that, you know.
I'm gonna say this though, because this sitting on me, this one you gotta have an uncomfortable conversation. Bro, you beat me up before. Then you threw hands.
Huh?
Yeah, I can't believe he don't remember this. Yeah, tell him he gave me the work one time. I'm gonna keep it real.
How about that?
He wanted, you don't remember, huh? On Alpine. I shouldn't even brought it up then. I should
have
left it in the past. So
I'm gonna ask my mama.
The mama wasn't home. Like nobody was home. But it happened.
Me and you?
It happened. But we didn't fight all the time. But that came across my mind. Like, how you remember the one or two times that it did happen?
I feel bad, man. You? Whatever happened, I'm sorry, man.
Sorry. I'm cool, man.
I'm sorry. Hey.
I'm cool. I don't want to fight my brother anyway.
That's crazy. Well, I'm happy to know I won. But hey, we gonna wrap this up, man. That was just 5 questions about twins, but maybe another time we can do more questions. So I hope that y'all was motivated by how we started out about those uncomfortable conversations. Please keep those in mind. If you got any thoughts or opinions, please drop a comment. Remember to like and remember to subscribe. It's Free Noise.
Free Noise.
And we out. Ching ching.